Filipinos have reason for pride in the recently concluded reality TV show, The Apprentice. It is the first Asian version of the famous TV reality, and the ultimate winner is a Filipino. That show was made famous by the business tycoon Donald Trump, and it became famous with the patented words that concluded every episode with, "You're fired." But on the concluding episode, the words are directed to the ultimate winner, and it becomes, "You're hired." And the build-up towards that conclusion is full of efforts by contestants trying to outwit each other for the ultimate plum, which is, of course, to be considered the apprentice of an important tycoon. Exciting as that is, it is only a game. And it is a far cry from the seriousness of God's calling. Yung mga ganyang laro na pinapanood natin sa television, yan ay laro lamang bagamat masyadong sineseryoso ng iba. Ang talagang mas dapat nating seryosohin ay ang panawagan ng Diyos. Yan ang seryoso, yan ang matimbang na bagay. And starting this month, we will meditate on an encounter between God and an individual where the main issue is God's call. It is the longest passage in Scripture of such an encounter, and that tells you of its significance. And I am talking, of course, of the calling of Moses through the encounter in what is known as the burning bush, one of the signature sins of the Old Testament, so much so that when Jesus made reference to this event, he spoke of it in Mark 12:26 as the passage about the bush. So they know na nakabantog ang mga talatang ito at tinatawag nilang ang mga talata ukol sa halaman. It covers the whole of Exodus 3, extending to chapter 4, verse 17. That's 39 verses in all. In that just one encounter between God who appeared in the burning bush and Moses, that one encounter merited 39 verses in all. This is a key moment in the history of Israel and therefore in the redemptive story of Revelation. There are also many sidelights, as we shall see. They will challenge us in our own undertakings for God and for His kingdom. But ultimately, in approaching this, let us not forget that Moses stands as mediator of Israel before Yahweh. And he is a mediator to anticipate the ultimate mediator of all, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Sa paggamit natin ng mga talatang ito, huwag natin kalimutan ang katayuan ni Moises bilang tagapamagitan kay Yahweh at sa Israel. At siya ang magbibigay ng paghuhula o magbibigay ng anino na siyang bibigyang katuparan ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo. So when we use this passage, it is about faith, it is about the kingdom, it is about us, believers, but ultimately, it is about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I trust and I pray that the impact upon us will be one of reviving our faith and commitment. That's one reason why I chose that song before this message. In every verse, there is the prayer, "Revive us, Lord." And that is a prayer that we constantly need to utter. So to start, I invite you to turn your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 2. Our text is chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. But to get the background, let's begin with chapter 2 and verse 21. This is now the period in which Moses has fled Egypt and is now in Midian. Exodus chapter 2, beginning verse 21. "And Moses was content to dwell with a man, and he gave Moses his daughter Zipporah. She gave birth to a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, 'I have been a sojourner in a foreign land.' During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew." Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. Now immediately we must take note that the context of the appearance of the Lord to Moses is explicitly set in covenant remembrance. Naalala ng Panginoon ang kanyang tipan. Ipapaliwanag ko lamang na yung pagkiginagamit ang salitang naalala ng Panginoon, hindi ibig sabihin na nakaligtaan niya at yun lamang niya naalala. Tayo kapag may naalala kasi nakaligtaan natin, hindi po ganyan ang gamit ng salita pag tinukoy ang Panginoon. It means that this is now the time of execution. Preparation is now done. Now execution is going to begin. So what was covenanted by God with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, as the people of Israel are now groaning under oppression in Egypt, God remembers. This is covenant remembrance. God is going to execute what His covenant has pledged to the patriarchs. And it is in the light of that that we are to weigh the words the Lord appeared to Moses. But there is an important sidelight to this that I do not want us to miss. Consider the circumstances of appearance in the wilderness, in Horeb, while tending the flock. The Lord appeared to him. This is my message. God's gracious visitation can happen in the most contrary circumstances. Ang mabiyayang pagdalaw ng Diyos ay maaaring mangyari sa anumang sumasalungat na mga kalagayan. God's gracious visitation can happen in the most contrary circumstances. Now, we are no longer to expect an appearance by God to us in the same way of the burning bush. The greatest appearance God made is in the incarnation of the Son of God. When Jesus came and became man, and for more than 30 years lived the perfect life, He died on the cross and rose from the dead. There is an even greater appearance than the burning bush. And we would not look for any other appearances of God in the similar vein as the burning bush. God's appearance and God's visitation today is by means of His Word. And we are satisfied with that. But God dealing with us graciously and powerfully can still be called a visitation. There is something that we may learn from the way the visitation happened to Moses in his circumstances, contrary circumstances. Consider three circumstances here. First, a forbidding place. Lugar na mahirap. A forbidding place. An unlikely man. Taong hindi karapat-dapat. And consider the visiting Lord, ang Panginoong dumalaw. First, a forbidding place. A twist of circumstances has brought Moses far from his people. At this point, he is now in Midian. It is a place of pagans. In fact, his own father-in-law, we are told, Jethro, is the priest of Midian. And the indication that Moses was feeling all strange is that when he named his firstborn son, he named him Gershom. It literally means a stranger there. He feels like a stranger, and it is the habit of the ancient people to give to the son the name that indicates his own status. And in naming his firstborn son Gershom, it indicates that at this point, Moses was feeling all strange. He was far from his people. He was with the Midianites, pagans. And now he feels so strange. The event takes place in the wilderness in Horeb. It's called the Mountain of God retrospectively. That is, hindi pa ito mountain ng God nang lumitaw siya kay Moses, kundi sinasabi lang na mountain of God pagkatapos na ng mga pangyayari sa Exodus. But at this point, it is just an ordinary mountain. Horeb is what we will come to know as Sinai. But at this point, it is just one of those mountains in the wilderness. Here we learn that God's gracious visitation is not restrained by the place and the circumstances. Hindi napipigil ang pagdalo ng Diyos ng anumang uri ng lugar o mga kalagayan. Remember the story of Moses. Previously, he tried to do something for the Israelites when he was resident of the Egyptian palace. He was a prince in Egypt. And in the place of power, he thought he could do something for his people, the Israelites. What better place to do something for his people than in the seat of power? Isn't that still the mentality today? Even among those who profess to work for God's cause, they need a place, a seat of power. But we know what happened to Moses. When he did that as a prince, he got the opposite for all his trouble to help the Israelites from his seat of power. He turned fugitive. Naging takas siya sa hustisya ng Ehipto. Now he is in a place where he himself feels like a stranger, a place without power, a place without God. It is a place that may be good for the grazing of his flock, a wilderness of plants and bushes. We are not given any special description of the flora of the place. Perhaps the kinds of plants or bushes there is the thing that you can say you've seen one, you've seen them all. Nothing special. Yet in that insignificant, powerless, strange place, the Lord appeared to him. He remembered. This is the Lord's way throughout his dealing with his people. Unlike pagan deities that require ostentatious temples and pomp, they needed impressive temples, yet Paul said, He, God, does not dwell in temples made with hands. And that's God's way. Earlier to Moses, the Lord visited Abraham. Where? Ur, a place of idolatry. And later on, in the fulfillment of the ministry of Moses, God came down in Bethlehem. And most important of all, He visited the world with His redemptive grace at the cross. That's the way of God. And my friend, if you are looking for God in some palatial temple and think that by doing the most ceremonious activity of religion, you will be closer to God, you're wrong. God came down in the person of His Son. And that is on the cross. And you will never have any real connection with God in faith other than through the cross. I told you this morning about Albert Einstein being offered the presidency of Israel in 1952. And what an opportunity for power. But Einstein himself refused it. He chose his teacher's job. He chose his professorial office rather than a presidential palace in Israel. And it is in that condition that he became much more useful than he would have been as president of Israel. And that's the way we need to judge, brethren, not the pomp and power of our circumstances. And what we need to do is refresh the Lord's commission of the church to the ends of the earth. No place spared. Whatever place God has assigned us in by providence, that is the place where God can visit. The call of Moses in the most forbidding place is a good starter for him. In the calling, he will heed. From this place, he will be called face to face with the most powerful man on earth at the time, the Pharaoh of Egypt. And after that, he will lead the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years until the very edge of the promised land to which he himself would not enter. He needed the conviction that no place is too forbidding for God to visit when he remembers. Be it the seat of power of the most powerful man on earth, or in the wilderness, Moses needed a conviction that if God should visit, he will, no matter what the place is. And this is the same conviction that the church needs in our own commission to be the church on earth. No place is to be spared of the gospel message. This is Jesus' commission to the church. Beginning at Jerusalem, he said in Acts 1:8, to Samaria, to Judea, to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is where the church is sent. No place is too much. No place is too forbidding for the gospel to reach and for God to visit. Are you in a place which you feel is hardly the place to expect God to do something gracious? Perhaps the people you have to deal with are pagans, unbelievers. You are not with God's people, and you feel like a stranger, exactly the way Moses felt. And then the Lord appeared to him. Your place. You may think of every argument why this cannot be the place. And that's exactly where Moses was. On that day, the Lord appeared to him. Think of a prison house. What would anyone expect the Lord will accomplish in a prison house? Samuel Rutherford was in prison in Scotland as a Puritan Covenanter. And in that prison, he wrote letters to several individuals. Those letters have been collected in a volume, and we call them now as Rutherford's letters. Spurgeon said, next to the Bible, it is the most spiritual influence he has had, reading the letters of Samuel Rutherford. Or think of John Bunyan in a prison in Bedford for being a nonconformist. And again, in that prison, he wrote his dream, which we now know as the Pilgrim's Progress, considered as the most translated English book into many languages. And consider just a generation ago, in a prison house in Germany, a Lutheran pastor by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who opposed Hitler. There he was imprisoned. And from that prison house, he wrote one of the most influential books of the 20th century, The Cost of Discipleship. What can God accomplish through a prison house? Through a wilderness, through a place that is powerless? I think he's got good record. And we see it here. The Lord appeared to Moses in the wilderness, a forbidding place. Consider next an unlikely man. Every human consideration is going against Moses to be the man to whom the Lord should appear. I mean, if you were an employer choosing from applicants, and you see in the group of applicants Moses, you would probably tell him, don't even bother to fill in the application form. You just judge by appearance, this is not the man you will employ. Moses in the wilderness of Midian is the spectacle of failure, a loser, not worth any investment. But that is precisely the point. God's gracious call can turn around any man with the most undeserving character. Kapag tumawag ang Diyos, kaya niyang baguhin ang sino mang tao kahit pa hindi siya karapat dapat. Ganyan kumilos ang biyaya ng Diyos. We know Moses once tried a heroic deed for the Israelites only to end up a fugitive from Egyptian justice. Oh, what a fall from grace. For the once prince of Egypt, now a lowly shepherd of sheep and goats. And the flock is not even his own. We are told he was keeping the flock of his father-in-law. Ni hindi sa kanya yung kanyang kawan. And besides, consider at this point, Moses is now past his prime. What do you expect of an 80-year-old? This is Moses' age at this point when the Lord appeared to him in the bush. He is an athlete we would call a has-been. Sinasabing laos na. He probably is just going through the motion of keeping the flock and will soon ask for retirement. A humiliated prince, turned hired laborer, a fugitive, ready to retire. The Lord appeared to him. We were told during his prime, the best five-man team in basketball is Michael Jordan plus four more. The point is, you can choose any four players. As long as Michael Jordan is there, it will be the best team in basketball. There may be a lot of exaggeration to that, but the point is, the presence of Jordan makes the difference, whoever the man in that team may be. And that's what the Lord's presence does. Kapag ang presensya ng Panginoon ay na dumalaw sa anumang gawain, sa anumang ministeryo, sa anumang proyekto, sa anumang individual, may iba siyang gagawin, iba ang presensya ng Diyos kapag ito ay dumalaw sa sino mang kanyang dalawin. So refresh the assurance of the superior abundance of grace to whatever failure of sin. Moses anticipates the acceptance or the appearance of the one of whom it was asked, "Is this not the carpenter's son?" A prophecy concerning the Messiah says in Isaiah 53, verse 3, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not." Our idea of the Savior of the world are people clothed with power, fame, and genius. Maybe the likes of Bill Gates or Steve Jobs. Those are saviors. But a man on the cross, but we know from history that cross has turned around more lives than anything of the forces of the world combined. What about you? Have you given up on the idea of being useful for the kingdom of God? "I'm not the man, I'm not the person to do that," you say. What about someone you know? Do you think more of why he could not be the man than what grace could do? Our answer to such arguments will always be Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where it seems unlikely, it only takes the visitation of the Lord to turn it around. Anne Bradstreet lived at a time that was unfriendly to women. She died in 1672. Publication of printed materials was hard enough for men. It was impossible for women. Yet, during the time of persecution in England, Anne Bradstreet joined a company of pilgrims to a land that they called New England, which is now our America. She crossed the ocean and in America became the first person to publish a book of poetry and the first woman to publish at all. The unlikely turned around because the Lord appeared. And finally, consider the visiting Lord. There is that instructive transition to Moses. In chapter 2, verse 25, we are told God knew of the oppression of his people. He took notice, and then the Lord appeared. And what it tells us is of the significance of God's covenant presence. God's covenant presence can sustain his cause against all contrary forces. Kapag ang presensya ng tipan ng Diyos ay dumalaw, anuman ang pwersang kalaban ay tutustusan ng Panginoon ang kanyang simulain. The appearance of the Lord to Moses was not a chance visit. It was not an emotional encounter. It was covenant visit. God is going to fulfill what he has pledged. The Lord has planned this in eternity past, pledged long ago to the patriarchs, and they are all couched in covenant terms. Time for execution has come. There is that 80-year-old man in the wilderness in Midian among sheep and pagans, feeling forlorn among the unremarkable bushes of Mount Horeb. What can he do? The Lord appeared to him. That's all it took. The Lord gives him the appearance of his covenant presence, and one bush sets afire but unconsumed. We will deal more with that in our next messages, the significance of that bush burning but not being consumed. But here is an uninteresting bush. But when the Lord makes it the place of his presence, it will make an impact. And generations later, Jesus will say that passage about the bush. That bush may have died long, long, long ago, but it's still there. It made an impact. You know, wherever the president speaks, his presidential seal is attached to the podium where he speaks. That podium may be used by ordinary teachers in other days, or perhaps even, as some of our children do with a pulpit here, make it a play thing. But when a president stands at the podium, his seal is attached to tell all whatever this podium has been. At present, the president is here. That makes all the difference. And no matter what kind of individual you are, when the Lord visits, he sets his seal, he attaches his seal upon you, and he will make use of whoever he visits. So the challenge is refresh the urgency of petition for God's presence in what we do for his kingdom. It is not first fund. It is not first the materials. It is not any connection to power that we need. What we need is for the Lord to make his presence known, to visit. And Moses will long remember the lesson of this encounter at the burning bush. A lesson well remembered, that it is the presence of God he needs more than anything else. In one incident in the wilderness, perhaps the most trying for Moses, was when the people molded a golden calf, began to worship it, and to declare that this is Yahweh who delivered them from Egypt. And the Lord was grieved, and he was going to consume these people, but Moses mediated. And the next encounter, the Lord offered to Moses something. He said, I will bring you to the land, that is the promised land, but my presence will not be with you. Or you can have this bargain. You can have the land, but my presence will not be with you. And Moses answered, an answer that must have been learned in this burning bush encounter. He said, if your presence will not go with us, do not bring us to the land. If your presence is not there, what's the point? And now, have we learned that lesson? It is the presence of God in a life, in a ministry, in a cause that makes all the difference. Is that the point of your life? Is that the point of your ministry? Is that the point of your cause? For the Lord to visit, for us to have communion with our God. Do you know God's gracious visitation where you are? However contrary, that is the point of our last song as we sing this hymn, Unworthy Dwelling, Glorious Guest. There's a sense of wonder, dear Lord, and shall thy spirit rest in such a wretched heart as mine? Unworthy dwelling, glorious guest, favor astonishing, divine. And if there is anyone here who has probably gone to the stupor of satisfaction in just going along the drudgery of a life you try to call Christian life, a ministry that you try to call ministry, but none of the presence of the Lord, plead for his presence. And the good news is, because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is his promise to his people. when they plead. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos sa tama, nawa nga ay tunay na maging mapanghamon ang matutunan namin sa pakikipagtagpo mo kay Moises sa ilang sa paraan ng nasusunog na halaman. At gayunman, maraming mga bagay na maaring sa tingin namin ay nakakapag-alinlangan na si Moises ay maari pang kasangkapanin as we think of those contrary circumstances, and yet the very fact that you appeared to him reminds us that your gracious visitation is not restrained by the most contrary circumstances, be it a place, how forbidding this place is in Midian, so much so that Moses himself felt a stranger in the place, among pagans, far from his people. And yet, the Lord appeared to him. And we pray that we may learn to refresh even for our church the commission that calls us to the uttermost parts of the earth. No place should be spared of the gospel message. No place is to be too powerful or too lowly for the gospel to reach. As Moses had to have a face-to-face encounter with Pharaoh, had to lead the Israelites in the wilderness, and for our part as a church, you have commissioned us to every place in the world. And where we are at, may we learn to expect that you can appear, you can visit, no matter how forbidding the place may be. And so with Moses as an unlikely man, a failure, a loser, a fugitive, an old man, yet for all that, the Lord turned him around with that appearance to him. And may we then have such high view of the power of your grace, believing that it can turn around any man, no matter how undeserving, no matter how weak or lowly in the eyes of men, but it takes your visitation to turn that around. And we therefore pray that you may cast our eyes upon the visiting Lord. It is a covenant visit. It is not something that you expect emotionally or even by way of an actual supernatural vision. It is simply the fulfillment of the covenant. And that covenant is most completely fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and in what he has done on the cross and through the empty tomb, which we will remember tonight in our Lord's Supper. So grant that we may really feel the urgency, the necessity of your presence. And we remember how Moses learned this lesson very well. When offered a promised land without your presence, he chose not to be there. He chose your presence. And may it be our own choice in whatever kind of life we lead, in whatever ministry we serve, in whatever cause we pursue. May it be your presence that makes all the difference. So we pray for your presence upon us. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.